I'm reading from Ephesians 2:11 through 22. So remember that once you were Gentiles by physical descent, who were called uncircumcised by the Jews who were physically circumcised. At that time you were without Christ. You were aliens rather than citizens of Israel and strangers to the covenants of God's promise. In this world you had no hope and no God. But now, thanks to Christ Jesus, you who once were so far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ is our peace. He made both Jews and Gentiles into one group. With his body, he broke down the barrier of hatred that divided us. He canceled the detailed rules of the law so that he could create one new person out of the two groups, making peace. He reconciled them both as one body to God by the cross, which ended the hostility to God. When he came, he announced the good news of peace to you who were far away from God and to those who were near. We both have access to the Father through Christ by the one Spirit. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens. Rather, you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you belong to God's household. As God's household, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a cornerstone. The whole building is joined together in him, and it grows up into a temple that is dedicated to the Lord. Christ is building you into a place where God lives through the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I've had walls on the mind this week. That may sound strange, but if you listen carefully to the scripture, and if you've ever read this, now the particular version we read said barriers, but in every other translation of this particular passage of scripture, one of the dominant images that we find is walls. There are walls between us. And so I've had walls on the mind this week. Walls. And I've been thinking a lot about walls functions, and what they stand for. And I've been doing a mental list of the popular walls of the world, and thinking a lot about walls. You know, walls can have good purposes. Like, walls are, well, I'm thankful for the walls in here because they hold up the roof, right? But in my mind, and especially as Paul talks about it in this particular passage in Ephesians, the walls he's talking about are the kind of walls that we erect in between one another. So I just want to take us on a quick tour of the popular walls of the world. Would that be okay? You don't have a choice. So in my mind, when I think of wall, this is the first image that comes to my mind, right? And perhaps this came into your mind as I started talking about walls and famous walls. We all know about the Great Wall of China. At least we know that it exists. I learned some interesting facts about the Great Wall of China this week. First of all, it was not built all at once. It was built over like several hundred years, and it's not just one contiguous section. It's several different sections, all different places. Although the most famous parts of the walls that we know were built during the Ming Dynasty, in case you were wondering. Another fact I learned about the Great Wall of China is you cannot, in fact, see it from in space. If you have a telephoto lens on your camera, you can find it from space, but it's technically not visible from the naked eye. And scientists in the 16th century claimed that you could see it from the moon. How they knew that, considering that scientists in the 15th century and the 16th century never got to the moon, is beyond me. But that's where that popular myth originated. Anyway, we know about the Great Wall of China. This is another famous wall, although some younger may not be quite as familiar with this one. This is a section of the Berlin Wall that used to separate East Germany and West Germany. This wall, like the Great Wall of China, was meant to separate a peoples. This particular wall was not necessarily meant to keep people out as much as it was meant to keep people in. This particular wall was devastating as it was pretty much built right down the center of a city, separating East Germany from West Germany, separating the tacitly free from the communist. This is another famous wall. Most of us, at least that know about it and it's a history, don't have particularly good feelings towards this wall. In your mind, maybe ringing the voice of the old Gipper saying, "Mr. Chairman, tear down this wall." This wall came to symbolize everything that was bad about communism and the Eastern Bloc for us. It's another famous wall. This wall is a pretty famous wall, the southernmost section of the border wall that separates the United States and Mexico. A lot of conversation going on about this particular wall nowadays. Some of it good, most of it not. The majority of which is negative and heated and very angry. But another wall that's meant to separate. This particular wall, at least at this particular time, is meant to keep others out and to funnel people to legal ways of crossing the border. Another wall that exists in our world. This is another famous wall, which you may not know or recognize, but this is part of the security wall that exists in Israel. Another wall which exists to keep people out or keep people in, depending on which way you look at it. But it's the wall that has been erected between the Israeli and the Palestinian territories in Israel. It's a wall that goes around Bethlehem. This particular section is not the Bethlehem section, but it goes around Bethlehem. It keeps, at least the line is that it keeps Israel secure from attack from the outside. Of course, rockets still go over it both ways. Another famous wall. Walls are meant to separate us. Walls are meant, however you feel about them, to demarcate between who is in and who is out. Sometimes very, very literally, between who is in and who is out. Of course, that largely depends on which side of the wall you're standing on. Walls are meant to divide. Walls are meant to separate. Walls are meant to keep us from intermingling. Walls are meant to divide and to demarcate. I'm not sure why Paul has walls on the mind. I have walls in the mind because he wrote about them. It may be that Paul, as an apostle to the Gentiles, was acutely aware of the walls, literal and figuratively, that existed between peoples. Certainly Paul, who himself was a Jew, writing to an audience, to a church that was largely Gentile, surely Paul had an idea and a concept of the walls that existed even after Christ between Jews and between Gentiles. Surely Paul was acutely aware of the debates that continued to rage against who was in and who was out when it came to the people of God. Of course, Paul's contention was there is no wall. Paul's contention was God has accepted the Gentiles along with the Jews. That didn't stop the debates from raging. In fact, within Paul's sphere of experience and even within the temple itself, there were metaphorical and even physical walls that separated, that kept these two groups of people apart from one another. It may be as Paul is talking about walls, in his mind he's thinking of the wall that exists itself in the Temple of Jerusalem. Historians tell us that within the Temple of Jerusalem during Paul's time, there was not just a figurative separation between who was Jew and who was Gentile, but within the temple itself, there was a court of Gentiles and a literal wall that stood in between the court of the Gentiles and the remainder of the temple where the Jews were allowed to go. I don't know how well you can see it, but let me find the laser here. It's not working real well. Anyway, up at the top there, that's a wall separating this, the court of the Gentiles, from the rest of the temple area. We don't know how tall the wall was. It may have only been chest height, but we are told again by historians that on that wall there was a notice written. Essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, perhaps they worded it nicer than this, it said, "No Gentiles beyond this point. Keep out under the penalty of death." I don't know if the Jews ever enforced that. But if we're to read in the latter parts of the book of Acts, what happens when Paul is visiting Jerusalem one day is he happens to go into the temple and he goes and he worships there. He then comes out of the temple and is just kind of hanging around in the court of the Gentiles with one of his friends, and he's arrested. And he's brought before the council because a charge was made against him that he brought a Gentile into the court of the Jews. It's that whole problem and that whole issue that ultimately lands Paul on a prison boat to Rome and in a Roman prison. It's because of that that Paul appeals to the emperor, because he doesn't feel he's going to get a fair hearing among his own people. Paul is acutely aware of the walls that exist for this people in particular, between Jew and Gentile. But the wonderful thing about the book of Ephesians, if you've ever read it, the wonderful thing about the book, as we talked about last week, it is full of encouragement. It is full of Paul talking to the people, talking to the Ephesians, declaring to them who they are in Jesus Christ. Last week, he talks about all the benefits that they enjoy as people who have come to Christ. They are their heirs to the kingdom. They're blessed. They're redeemed. They're given salvation. They're given insight into the mystery of God's will. They're given all this stuff, all because they are part of Christ. And in chapter 2, Paul begins to talk about who they once were in relationship to who they are now. So after telling the Ephesians about all the good things that they are, saying the wonderful things that God has done for them, he says, remember that you were once Gentiles by birth. You were called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision. He says to them, you were on the outside. There was a wall in between you and the Jews. There was a wall in between you and the salvation enjoyed in God. You were on the outside. You were an alien. You just wished you could have. You had no hope. But then he says, Christ has broken down the wall that separates us. He says that wall that existed, the metaphorical wall, or the physical walls for that matter, that exists between Jew and Gentile, he says, Christ has broken them down so that the people who were separate are now together. You see, walls sometimes come tumbling down. This particular section is in the Great Wall of China. Paul talks about how the walls are coming down. The walls that separate the Jews from the Gentiles are coming down. That Christ has not just put a hole in them, but that Christ has done away with them. Christ has torn them down. That the two people that existed, the Jew and the Gentile, he says, have become one person. There's lots of ways we have in dealing with walls. A cursory study of any border in the world will show us this, right? Right? So you can face a wall and you can get to a wall and you can go through the gate, because most walls have gates, right? Yeah, to get into where you need to go. There were gates for Gentiles to get on the other side of that wall. Jews didn't really have a problem with Gentiles once they converted, because they were no longer Gentiles, they were Jews. A Gentile could say, you know what, I want to be a part of this wonderful people of God, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become a son or a daughter of the Torah, right? I'm going to be bar mitzvah. That's literally what that means. I'm going to accept circumcision if you're a male, and I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to be under the Torah, and I'm going to be a part of the people of God. Literally, they became a Jew. Once were a Gentile, and they went through this process. Some would say that baptism was a part of that, and all of a sudden, now they're a Jew. They went through the gate. The wall still exists. The distinction still exists. Jew-Gentile. We can hop over walls, but that gets us shot or killed, and not generally a good idea. But we're still an outsider, even on the inside. We're still an alien. We're still a foreigner to the Commonwealth. We can poke holes in walls, right? This is done. You put a hole in a wall and you just walk through. But again, it'll get you shot, killed. You're still an alien. You're still a foreigner. Or you can tear down walls. You can make the barriers no longer barriers. For those of you who remember, the thing that strikes me most about like this Berlin Wall idea is there was a wall, and they didn't just put holes in it so you could go back and forth, but ultimately what happened in Berlin, right, is the two people it was who were West and East Berliners now became one person, one people. It's no longer West Berliners or East Berliners. It's no longer East Germans or West Germans. It's just Germany. The two people become one. You poke a hole in a wall and you can easily patch it back up. You tear down a wall and that does something significant. Paul says that Christ has not just poked a hole, not just made a gate, doesn't just lean up a ladder against it, build a tunnel underneath it. Christ has torn down the wall. So that thing which marked distinction between Jew and Gentile is no more, which means significantly that the two people intermingle and intermix. What Paul will say is out of two people, God has made one. Think about that for a moment. It wasn't that Gentiles became Jews. That wasn't the issue. That's not what's going on. Nor were the Jews expected to become Gentiles or be like the Gentiles. That's not how it was done. It's that God formed for God's own self a new people, this redeemed people of God in Jesus Christ, made for himself a new people. So that the distinction Jew-Gentile no longer functions to have a separation meaning. The wall has been torn down. Oh, there's still Jews and there's still Gentiles, sure. But those are no longer reasons to divide. They're no longer ways of demarcating who is in and who is out. The two are one. The two distinct peoples are now a people who may wear the name Jew or wear the name Gentile, but those labels have no functional meaning for them in terms of their salvation and their relatedness to God. It's not us and them, it is only we. And so Paul says, Christ has torn down the wall, and the two people are one. I'm going to switch gears real quick and tell you something that most of you know. I love Legos. Most of you know that. If you've been around here for like 6 minutes, you probably know that I like Legos. If you've been in my office, you know that I like Legos. I am an adult who likes Legos. Let's just put that out there, okay? So judge me if you want. It's true. One of the reasons I like Legos is A, you get to build stuff. But the other reason I like Legos is they're just so different and disparate pieces. You just get a box with a bunch of pieces in it. You parents who have ever had to pick up your kids' Legos know this. You pick up a bunch of disparate pieces and you go, how could this be anything? But following the right instructions, following a master builder, and those people who write those instructions must be, you're able to make things that are just incredible. And you're only limited by the limits of your own imagination. I like it because walls are the easiest thing to build in Legos. It's easy to build a wall. It's much harder to make something else. I brought a couple examples of my Legos here to show you, mostly because I want to show off my Legos. But so you get a box of Legos that's a bunch of disparate pieces, and you get something like this that comes out at the end. Now, I don't know if you can all see this, and I guess there's probably not a whole lot of Doctor Who fans in this particular building. But this is a scene from the Doctor Who television show. It blows me away that the little pile of Legos I had, the 700 or some Legos I had, turned into this at the end. It's amazing to me. Along with being a Lego fan and a Doctor Who fan, I'm also a Star Wars fan. There's a theme running in here, if you can't tell. A little sci-fi, a little nerd culture, that's okay. So growing up, my favorite starship in Star Wars was the B-Wing fighter. And so I went out of my way to find this particular one and build it. Again, I am amazed that a little pile of Legos, 700-800 pieces, can turn into this and look so much like a movie prop. I don't know. You may not be impressed. I love it. Of course, you can build ships and you can build other things. You can also build houses or castles. I'm a big fan of castle Legos. I didn't want to pick this one up because I was afraid I'd drop it. Done it many times. I don't know, I feel this particular image is apropos given Paul's writing here. Paul says that not only are we made into be one people in God, in Christ, but he says, based on the foundation of Christ, the cornerstone of Christ, based on the foundations of what the prophets and apostles have taught about the kingdom and the nature of the God who dwells there, he says, we are being built into a dwelling place for God, into a house for God to dwell by God's own Spirit. Paul was big on the "you are a temple of God" imagery. We are a temple of God. And the reason I find the Lego metaphor so apt, I mean, I shouldn't have to explain metaphors, but I'm going to anyway, is that look at all these different pieces. All the different pieces that are represented. There's teeny pieces, there's big pieces, there's window pieces, there's brick pieces, there's round pieces, there's square pieces, there's thousands and thousands of different variations of pieces, but you put them all together, and what do they become? Something rather amazing, if you ask me. I see people, I see the world in Legos. We're like Legos. We're all a bunch of different pieces. We look different from one another. Some of us are big, some of us are small, some of us are skinny, some of us are whatever. We are all different pieces. And by all appearances, most of the time we look out and we say, why in the world would we hang out together? We're from different places. We're from different experiences. We're from different situations of life. We're from different sides of the tracks. But God has brought us together in Christ. The walls that would normally divide us have been broken down, and together we are built to a dwelling place for God. I have one more Lego to show you. It's not mine, but this is a cathedral. It's 231,000 Legos. Together, Paul says, we are being built into a dwelling place for God, into a temple for God, into a house for God's Spirit to dwell. That metaphor is so much more appropriate, but if you think about it, that dividing wall in the temple was there. It said, no Gentiles beyond this point. And Paul's saying, guess what? There's a new temple being built. And in it, we are all a part. Not only do we go there, but we are part of that temple. We together are the dwelling place for God's Spirit. There is no distinction any longer that has significance for our salvation. And Paul will say it elsewhere. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male nor female. I suspect that if Paul had lived in our time, he would say there's no longer black nor white. There's no longer American or Mexican. There is only us, we who are the body of Christ. For the body of Christ transcends all borders and boundaries. Those things that we use to demarcate ourselves over and against other people. The walls we erect, he says, have become functionally obsolete. For we are together the people of God. And we don't define ourselves against one another. Jew, Gentile doesn't really matter when it comes to the people of God. For in Christ we are one, God's own people. Slave or free, in Christ it doesn't matter functionally because we are one, the people of God together. We are one. We are a temple in which the old walls are being broken down. We are only people of God. I suppose the question that needs to be asked is, if Christ has gone to such lengths to tear down the walls that stand us between us, why do we seem so intent on building them up again? Because we do. We define ourselves over and against one another. We use labels of our denominations to label ourselves over and against, to build walls between us. Do you think Jesus might say, "In me there are no longer Nazarenes nor Baptists, there are only the people of God"? Those labels have meaning, but they shouldn't divide us. They should only be there to say, we are the people of God who can disagree well with one another. I suspect that a lot of the labels we wear for ourselves, Jesus would say, I've gone to such lengths to tear that down. Why build it back up again? Because in Christ we are one. In Christ there is no longer us or them. There is only we who dwell in the kingdom of God, who pray to God, your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. If Jesus has gone to such lengths to tear down the walls, why are we intent on building them up again? The message that Paul has for the Ephesians is so wonderful. You are no longer aliens. You are part of God's family. You are no longer strangers. You are members of the household of God. You are no longer outsiders. In Christ, we are all in. And even within that, in the kingdom of God, in the household of God, you are being built into a place where the Spirit of God dwells, so that when God puts us together, male, female, black, white, slave, free, Greek and Jew, all the other things, when God puts us together, we become together a dwelling place for God's Spirit. Together, we are a place where God's presence is thick. Together, we are a place where people can encounter the living God. But I would posit that we can only do that as we stand together. You each have a piece. You each are a piece. The kingdom of God needs your piece. It's not us or them. It's not space Legos or Harry Potter Legos. It is just us, Legos. And together, we're built into a dwelling place of God, which means you have purpose in God's church. Which means you are necessary in God's church. Have you ever tried to build a Lego or a puzzle for that matter and had one piece missing? Isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world? You are necessary. You are a part. We are poorer if you aren't a part. Oh, that we would look at the world that way. Not over and above the people we see. Not figuring out ways in which we can differentiate from one another so that we don't have to be around one another. What if we looked at the world and said, the walls are gone. It is only us. So let us be built into a dwelling place for God. Christ has broken down the walls that divide us. Let us rejoice and sing, for that is good news. And on that note, the worship team is going to come back up. And we're going to sing together. And as we sing, I would ask that you think, that you consider, that you ponder this. The walls are broken down. We are now part of one family. And that is worth celebrating, if you ask me. For we are being built into something beautiful. Upon the cornerstone of Christ and on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, we move forward and we proclaim, the Lord God is in our midst. Let's sing together.